Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the possibility to talk about some very important people in your history that you chose and that you changed for good. And we are also, you know, people in history now, in presence even, and we also are called and we also want to be changed by you. And Lord, have mercy on us that we understand your love for us and your efforts for us and your wisdom so we can be changed from you. We thank you for this privilege. In your holy name, amen. Amen. Somebody who forgets easy is a sanguine. Very good. We have to repeat, you know. Somebody who likes peace is a phlegmatic. Yes. And some other people might like peace sometimes, but you know, he works for peace, really. Somebody who tends to be lazy is a phlegmatic. Now, when I say somebody, it doesn't mean really the person is a phlegmatic. It means he has a part of the model of phlegmatic. See? We are unique. So you are not a melancholy, a sanguine, a phlegmatic. You have characteristics of this model. Okay? So don't say, don't feel like, oh man, I'm a melancholy, you know, because we are creatures from God, designed everybody in a special way, so our identity is so high, and God gives us so strong labels. He gives us even the strongest label we can get. You know, do you want to be? If you could choose, would you want to be King Charles' sons or a daughter? Do you want to be Bill Gates' son? Obama's son or daughter? Do you want to be? Just imagine you would have guards all the time. You'd be privileged all the time. Whatever you say is important suddenly. You know? No, what you are is much higher. Amen. Right? So we are children of God. I mean, what else do you want? Tell me anything else. Tell me anything better. And I hardly can say it, but we can call Jesus our brother. Did you know that? Amazing. So considering our weaknesses and strength, we have a very high self-worth, very high up. We are very high up. Please do not build your self-worth on your work. Please. On money. All this on the Caesar. Don't build your self-worth on Caesar things, but on godly things. Because godly things, they keep. Caesar things can be easily destroyed. This will help us to grow in our way to mature. Who likes to... Now, who is a proud temperament? Choleric? Melancholy? Sanguine? Phlegmatic? All four of them. All four of them. Us all, we have a problem with pride. All four of them. Okay? Some a little more, some a little less. But all of them have a problem. Because pride is our problem. There are two other problems we have. Another problem is power. Having power over whatever, things or people. Another problem is lust. Joy. Now, which temperament has a problem with enjoyment?
Sanguine.
Easy? Yeah, sanguines. Sanguines, they have an easy problem, a strong problem actually, with enjoyment, because they want to enjoy. They do everything that enjoys. When I first time came to visit my honey's relatives in the States, I still remember it, you know. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your stay.
Enjoy your meal.
Enjoy your meal. Enjoy the movie. Enjoy the everything. Enjoy. And I, okay. Enjoy. As a sanguine, you know. Okay.
My kind of country.
Yeah, I. You know, and the result of the enjoyment were 4 kilos. Every time. So, so we have these three main problems, and every temperament has these problems, more or less. Okay. Now let's see about Peter. What temperament do we see in Peter? Choleric, sanguine. Any other suggestion? Phlegmatic? Now, this idea is not from me. This idea is from a long time ago from people. They say Peter is a sanguine. Okay? I'm sorry. Okay? They say sanguine. Now, what sanguine characteristics does he have?
Impulsive.
How does it show? When did it show? He called Malchus ear. You know, you just imagine what it takes to do this.
He's also impulsive when he said to Jesus that he would be with him no matter what, but he said it without thinking, because then later he didn't fulfill.
Yeah, you say he didn't say without thinking. This is typical sanguine, right? But he thought later on, I said it. Man, I said it. And you know what? He bought a sword so he could keep his word. And the first chance he gets, you know, I'm showing him. Puff. So sanguines tend to do things good motivated, the wrong way. Very dangerous. So we can try to work for God. We mean well, and we do it wrong. And this is Peter. In many ways. You know, you would take Peter over here, over the left, and Peter, wake up! No, wake up! It's unbelievable. His excitement. First time he heard about Jesus, what did he do? He ran into the water, even though he couldn't swim, you know. He's excited about ideologies. He likes theories. This temperament. Ah, nice. Goes for it. Fights for it. It's a strength. It's a strength to a certain amount. If it stays in balance. He is saying to Jesus, when Jesus, one time he said, you know, please declare us this parable. He's very spontaneous and he wants to know. He wants to know. Good? Okay. He has a lot of feelings. Feelings about himself. A lot of feelings. And he realizes his need, his sinful nature, and he's also saying it to Jesus himself, personally. I'm a sinful man, depart from me. Good. What about feelings? Sanguines and feelings. Feelings are dangerous. Jesse told you the hierarchy. Who was in the Jesse's leadership? You remember? There is a hierarchy, a biblical hierarchy, how to handle feelings. Where is the priority of the feelings? How important are feelings? It's they're on the bottom. There are other priorities, a lot of other priorities before the feelings come. With the sanguine, the feelings come first, usually. So, not only sanguines have feelings, feeling problems, or they have to watch out. God gave all of us feelings, and he wants us to have feelings, because he says rejoice in the Lord always. So he really wants us to have good feelings, but feelings get easily destroyed in childhood. Now, God in his grace gave the mothers special qualities concerning feelings. So he made the brain area where the feelings are, he made them more developed in ladies. So when they have children, they can relate to the children. They can feel the child while the husband still sleeps. You know, they hear the child. They have, you know, feelings is always relating, having relationships to objects or subjects. So feelings are important. We need them to be able to communicate. This is norm. It wouldn't work without. So it's very important. But they have to be under control. They have to be under control. And you know how we call this? We call this term that makes us feelings to control, we call it emotional intelligence. Now, when you go into the Bible and you look for emotional intelligence, then you look for education. Now, for instance, you can read the chapter about education of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is a special man. Why? For us, why? Because he is called the second Elijah. We have the first Elijah, everybody knows, who went directly to heaven. We have the second Elijah, John the Baptist, who was beheaded, who was
a martyr.
Okay. And then we have the third Elijah. Excuse me? the anti-movement.
Advent
movement. So you can be the third Elijah. And in the end time, you maybe go directly to heaven, or maybe be a martyr. You know? So we so these Elijahs are very important for us. So if you study the John the Baptist's education, how he got educated, you will realize that he got a very strong education in emotional intelligence. If you study Jesus' education, you will find out very strong emotional intelligence. We do not have time much to talk about emotional intelligence, but emotional intelligence is nothing else put together. Control your feelings. How? That's another seminar. But that's very, very important question. How to control things? We learn this in our childhood.
We learned some of it in the Fatal Jester, but there's no important in talking about
We learn it in childhood. If we have learned it, say thank you to your parents all the time. If we didn't learn it, and you are 18, you have to learn it now. This is, by the way, a reason why God does not always answer our prayers. Because he wants to grow us in emotional intelligence. Because in the end time processes, we need emotional intelligence. If we depend on our emotions, we are lost. We will be lost. If we follow our emotions, we will be lost. We will be deceived. We will be gone. We have to work on our emotions and bring them to intelligence. You know empathy? Empathy is the fourth level of emotional intelligence. Ladies, never marry a man who did not get to the fourth level. You will be unhappy. Okay? So very important that there are five levels, you know. And the fifth level is being able to understand a person and do good for this person. Understand the feelings and the processes, and like Jesus actually. Jesus is always the best example, you know, how he can help the people because he knows them, and he knows the Nicodemus, he's a melancholy, you know, and he's built up on this house of thinking of theology, and tack, he knows what to do with this man. He knows. So this is emotional intelligence, okay, more or less. Then, you know, this Peter, I admire him a little, to have this idea when he saw Jesus come on the water, bid me to go on the water. Isn't this a nice idea? Isn't this overthrowing everything else? And then Jesus in his mercy says, yes, Peter, come. And you must really imagine what this means. Go out. Really go out, you know. And look at Jesus. And now something sanguine comes up. What is it? A distortion. Which? Which a typical distortion of the sanguine is that looking at Jesus and then looking at his arm instead of Jesus. Am I good or am I good? This is funny, but this is a problem we sanguines have. Am I good or am I good? So by doing good things, praying even, penguins tend to look, you know, instead of him. This is what he did. And he looked back to, am I good or am I good? Am I good, right? And it happens. The fall down happens. You know. And this is something sanguines, all those who have 40, 50% up, you know, have to watch out for that. It is a sin. It is a problem we have. Okay? Then, sensational speakings on the right time, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know. And a lot of things sanguines do are so sensational. Christ says, this is from my Father. This is the Holy Spirit. And sanguines get responsibilities because they have a good sense. They understand people because they have good feelings. They have these talents. They got responsibility. Peter got a lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility. And doing this job, we have to watch out. It is risky that we mean well and doing wrong. Very wrong. It happened to Peter right after he got the compliment. Holy Spirit in you? He got the
rebuke.
Go away, Satan. Just shortly after that. So sanguines really have to learn to strongly relate, be in contact all the time. Now sanguines are a blessing because they always have ideas. I have always ideas. We can do this, you know. If somebody asks something, a lot of ideas. And when Peter saw this
the transfiguration.
Now, I like this. Great, Moses here, Elijah here, Jesus. Let's build a building. Keep it. Keep the nice time. Keep the people here. You know. Yeah. And then means well, says well, I will never deny you, I will never deny you. And he does it anyway, because he is a feigling.
Coward.
A coward. Sanguines are cowards. Sanguines need to build up their integrity. What is integrity? Jesus is integrity. Integrity means
stands for the right,
even heavens fall. Yeah, right. Stands for the right, even if heavens fall. Yes, means what I say, I do. I am transparent. I fight for the truth. I say no when it is no. And when I say no, I mean no. Like Jesus did. You know. And this is a structure that is important for the sanguine. Yeah, and he got really bad. Made a bad experience, which you could say is also a healing experience for him, because he really cried after this. Okay, you know, he Simon's cry easy, but you know, the way Peter cried there, that was really going deep inside him. Yeah. Where did the time go? So even though Peter has so big, I like this as a sanguine. I like this, you know. Even Peter, with his weaknesses, Jesus used him. Isn't that a surprise? He could have said, "No, I mean this is a lot of work to work with a sanguine. This is a lot of work. Bring him to maturity is a lot of work." But Jesus did it, and he was really helping Peter. And Peter, after Christ has risen, Peter suddenly was very strong. After, you could say, after the conversion of Peter, Peter was changing a lot. And I only know of one mistake he did after that, only one, because he was somewhere, here it is, he was Simon getadelt from Paul, blamed from Paul once, because he was not
he wasn't faithful.
Okay, so he still had to work on that one, but a lot of times he was very nice. And also for Paul, who came later, you know, Peter was a very important person. So you could say Peter was, besides Paul, probably one of the most important person concerning building up the church. So God uses sanguines. Okay? And something for sanguines, by the way. Who are sanguines here? Who knows? Okay, thank you. Read and study Peter's letters. This is especially written for sanguines. You see, when you know who you are, you see Peter in his letters. And you see him, how he managed his problems. Because what he's saying is, I learned this and I learned that, and you better watch out for this and that as well. You know, he says, be ready and sober. Do not fashion yourself according to former lusts in ignorance. He had a lust problem. He wanted to have enjoyment all the time. He says to his friends, do not, you know, as you did before. This is not important anymore. Okay? And he, something that is not so easy for sanguines, to stick and stay with promises. Not forget them. It's very easy to forget them. Stick with it. He says, keep the promises.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there are so many. Full of peace. Right. Okay, anything to the sanguine? From your side? Question to the sanguine, for the sanguine? Or to, do you understand the sanguine package? Okay, this is a model. A model to understand human, to help people. What is it if you have a sanguine in the Sabbath school class? How is it? Do you like a sanguine in the Sabbath school class?
No.
Yes! Why? There's always an interaction going. You know? They might not always have the deepest thoughts, so. But sometimes very good, you know. Sometimes very good, you know. The more mature, the more interesting. And you can work with it, you know. Okay. Now you need this person on the side in the Sabbath school class. This is the melancholy. Yes, yes. And make sure when the melancholy makes a little sign, I have something, give him the word. But he might change his mind. Yeah, give him the chance. Now, Moses is known as a melancholy man. No melancholy, I didn't mention this last time, melancholies tend to be, yeah, it's all Nick. Let me explain it. Zorn?
Anger.
Anger. Now, they have a problem with anger. Now, John, the Revelator, John is also known as the
Son of Thunder.
Son of Thunder, with Andrew, right? Son of Thunder, which means
James and John.
James and John. Which means they collect stamps.
No.
You understand? They collect stamps. So this works like this. Hits me. Okay. Hits me. Okay. Hits me. Okay. Hits me. And sometime she was kind, hitting me kind, you know, but since I was collecting all the time,
she got the
blame for everything. You know? You understand? This is collecting stamps. This is what the melancholy does. Okay? So, when a melancholy has anger towards you, for instance, you have to remember that he was collecting. And you may do something like this, and the melancholy can blow up, and you think, what's going on? You know, you do not understand him. They are not understandable. You have to go deep in their past to understand them. So don't do them wrong. Try to understand them. Okay. Let's go and talk about this. And help them to understand themselves. You know? When you want to grow, when you want to become mature, we have to be conscious of it. That's why you are here now, to hear about, hey, there is something more going on, you know. I can reflect. I can pray about, Lord, please help me to understand my reaction. How I reacted right now. I don't know why. We have to find out, because we are responsible for our reactions and actions. So we have to find out. So the melancholy is collecting, and just you don't be this person. If you are this person, maybe you are in the chain, the weakest element, and this is where the melancholy thinks now it's time to
pay back,
you know. So this is something the melancholy has to learn.
Moses
was collecting, and just imagine if I think about living in Pharaoh's place, having the best teachers there are, being a little spoiled, intelligent and not having the Christian education to being able to work out your feelings, control your feelings, manage your feelings. This is him. He did not learn this. Spoiled. And through his education, he realized, this is my people. And he was collecting aggression. And then it went so far with him that we would say, lost case. I mean, he killed somebody. And he did it on purpose. This is not just an
accident.
Huh?
An accident.
It's not an accident. It's on purpose. He's real murder. So Moses is a real murder. Melancholics can be murderers. They can kill not by body action, but with words. They kill a lot of people. They tend to kill a lot of people. They can. How? They have a lot of power. Because? Why? Excuse me?
They collect,
yes. And how do they collect? What does it need to be able to collect? I mean, what's their skill? Analysis. They analyze a lot. They're very good. Because they know the detail. All other temperaments might not know it, but they know it. They know it. So, and if you know the detail, as I mentioned, you know, about the song, you know, there was one time, you know, he played very well, but one time. You know, you have a paper, and you put a dot on it, and you ask, what do you see? This is a melancholy problem. What do they see?
The
dots. Yeah. So when you are in tendency to that details are important, a little dot can grow. There were painters, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, close here, you know, when they did the picture and it had one dot in it that was not on the right place, they take it. This is not acceptable. So they can do that. So this is Moses. And you would say, work with Moses. What did Jesus decide for Moses after he murdered? He said, I want to use this man, but he has to do what? Excuse me?
Be a shepherd?
Yeah. For how long?
40 years.
40 years. Now, making, being a man with 40, a murderer, to change him, God sends him to where?
To the desert.
To the desert. And the melancholy needs maybe sometimes 40s. I don't know. This is a difficult sentence. Forget it. He sent him 40 years into the desert. Now, what is the desert good for? Thinking, which a melancholy does anyway. Automatic. But also what?
Things?
Done.
Done.
You have time to do things, yes, and?
You're separated from other influences?
Yes.
You and God's second nature for lesson book.
Yes, you learn about the nature laws. You are independent of nature laws. And I hope you remember this. because God did it with several people, not just Moses. God might do it with you. He might send you to the desert. You are young. He wants to use you. And if you say, God, use me, He might first thing send you to the desert. What could desert be? What could it mean? Think about it. Think about it. What could desert be? Because we will at the end we will ask this question again. Now, after being 40 years in the desert, what happened to him, Moses? Being in the desert, what happened? Just imagine, born as a slave, growing self-worth up like this. I'm very important. Everybody obeys me. He went back to where he said, me. I cannot speak. I'm as slow of speech and a slow tongue. Take anybody else. But if God chooses you, He will help you. And here I'm surprised. Here I am surprised because I am sure that Moses could speak. I'm sure Moses could speak well because he was going through this school here. So he was able to speak. He had the tools. And God could have made him speak to the Pharaoh himself. But in his generosity, what did God do? Sends Aaron to him. Isn't he generous? He sends, okay, if you think you have a problem with it, okay, I give you Aaron. And he lets do it together with Aaron. It's good for a melancholy to have a friend. This is a help. A true friend that he can talk about many things. It's very important for melancholics. So they can mirror. They can see themselves. They can be helped and be a help. Melancholics are always a help. Okay? Very typical. So he has Aaron as a help. Then the other thing, workaholic. Now, who is the melancholy here? Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay. You know? This is a challenge for the melancholy. Because he likes to work. He likes to think. He likes details. He likes systems. Ah! Live in it! Even before to go to sleep. And there's a problem. Adult. I have to work it out before I go to sleep. Then I can sleep. You better write your problem down on a paper so you can take it again to you in the morning. Just lay it over to the side and okay, and take it again in the morning so you are sure you do not forget it. Okay?
Huh? Which you won't anyway.
Which you won't anyway, but you know. Psychologically, it can be a help. You can train it. Lay everything aside. So if a workaholic does not live New Start, and you better find out what New Start is, New Start Plus, Now this is God's lifestyle method for us in the end time. This is not only God's lifestyle method in the end time, it is our chance as Adventists to become from tail to head in society. Because the devil works for us. He makes everybody sick. By the lifestyle we have now, everybody will get sicker and sicker and sicker. And God tells us, this is the method you can heal the people. And when you do that, you do what Jesus did. Because Jesus did exactly the same thing. He looked for the needs. Everybody was sick. Almost everybody. A lot of them. And he healed them. And Paul himself, who took he along with him?
Luke.
And Luke was a physician. So when Paul walked through his mission trips, he had always his medical missionary with him who could help at the knowledge of that time. We now, with our knowledge, man, we have scientists in Loma Linda that work for us, that found out the godly lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, is going towards veganism. Scientifically proven. We know it. So this is very important for everybody, but the workaholic, the melancholic is especially challenged in this area. Jethro told it to Moses, so he had to organize his people. You know, if you have 4 million people following you, this is a really challenge, you know, really big challenge. So the melancholies, they don't mind chaos sometimes. If you go to a room of a melancholy, it can have two faces. There are melancholies, they have a perfect room. No dot. Perfect. But there are melancholies, chaos. Total chaos. But they find their stuff. They find it. So, in a way, you could say they're organized in their chaos. That's what the melancholy says, right? Yeah. So, when you have a chaos, this means you have a chaos in your brain. I'm sorry, this is it. So if you have a chaos there and there and there, remember, hey, this is my brain. I might have to reorganize it a little, you know, get some structures in it. And as soon as you get some structures in it, your outside will change too. So start here, then everything else will adjust. Saying another law, what you have inside will come out. If you worry about what comes out, you work on the inside. If you change your job every half a year, please do not give guilt all the bosses and your co-workers, thank you. But the problem is here. I had somebody in the class, he was retired, 80, retired, and he was talking about his life, and then he said, and then I was here, and then the boss said, then I went here, and then I was, and then I went here, and he went, and he went, and he went. He flew away from himself. Melancholy type. He flew away from himself. He never found himself.
He ran away.
He ran away. Yes. So this is a danger. Even though when Moses had his people and his big responsibility, he got still this anger problem, and he had different situations. He was towards his people showed unforgiving situations where he really wanted to. I mean, I can understand him completely, I must say. Really difficult, but it happened. Now, I am surprised that God chose a melancholy to lead. How can God choose a melancholy to lead 4 or 5 million people? You know, if he says, I choose you to lead a family. You know, this is okay, handable, but so many, it's a surprise to me. It's a surprise to me. And that a melancholy can do that. In reality, this is God's work. Which means a melancholy can be used for anything. If he can be used for a leader, he can be used for anything. As long as he lets God work in him, he can do everything. Okay? This is, Moses shows this. And he has some very good qualities developed, obedience, and one of his really strong qualities is meekness. Meekness, everybody knows meekness?
Mm-hmm. Opposite of pride.
Opposite of pride. So, when a melancholy develops, when he's losing the pride, then he or she becomes meek and usable. And Moses was usable. In that sense, he is an example for Jesus. Yeah, please.
Humble.
Humble,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's like when he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He was opposite of pride.
Exactly. But, you know, there's a distinction between fearful and humble. Mm-hmm. Not the same thing. No. There, I would say he was fearful, because going back into these old times gave him a lot of fear, and God gave him these tools that he could use, and showing him, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, you can do it, I'm with you, I help you. You know, this is what they need. And finally, Moses was so meek, so humble, that, now listen, he would give his life for his people. He would give his life, in the sense, his eternal life for the people. Now, can you imagine you giving your eternal life for somebody? This is really, really strong.
That was fearful at the beginning. Could it have been because he was afraid not to make a bad impression? This is not because of his crowd?
A lot of times this is the case. It could be. No. A lot of times this is the pride makes us fearful. Yeah? Good connection. Yes. Especially for the melancholy, this is a case. Especially. The melancholy does not say anything because the people might think what he said is with a dot. It's not perfect. It has a dot. So he better says nothing. The sanguine doesn't care. Not a bit. I like to make mistakes. No problem. You know, not for a melancholy. That's why when he says something, turn it around, and then he comes like a perfect picture. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything? Question to Moses? Anything? There's a movie about Moses. I must mention this. No, about Abraham. Abraham. Okay. Moses is clear, huh? Melancholy. Good. Now, Abraham. There's a movie about Abraham. Does anybody recognize this picture? So you saw it? Harris? Richard Harris plays Abraham in a movie. And when I saw this movie, I said, this is it. He plays it so well. So well. This is my dream play. Unbelievable. And it shows how God worked with Abraham. So strong. Abraham is a phlegmatic. Now, you heard different sermons this time you were here. And there were sanguine sermons and also phlegmatic sermons. Remember? So not every temperament gets to the same place. Let's put it that way. Okay. Now Abram, before Abram, he has characteristics. He was obedient to his father. Authority. This is an authority, and I'm obedient up to many years. I don't know, 60, 80 years. And he had the privilege, phlegmatic, be chosen by God. Now, we do not know what would have happened with Abraham if he wouldn't have been chosen. But God chooses phlegmatics. And the funny thing for me is he chooses him to be the leader of pretty nice flock. Chooses him to be a leader. So phlegmatics can be used for anything as well. The better they are used, the better, as the more they let Christ in them live. Live Christ in them. Now we have these experiences with Abraham when he denied his wife because he was shy. He even tend to lie. I mean, he lied, you know. They're pretty bad stuff there. Coward. And really, even after having talked to God, we would say, if I ever talk to God, then everything changes. If I will have ever this privilege. Abraham had it. We think, when God does a miracle for me, I will change. And we know, the Bible says, good feelings, miracles don't necessarily change. We need emotional intelligence. That means we need the game, the focus, the aim, not game, aim, sorry, aim. We need some choleric directions, tools. Then he surprises me. I don't know how he could do that, you know. His nephew Lot was taken from Sodom,
captured.
And then he goes with 318 men against those kings, three kings, and he brings him back. I don't know where he got this courage from. This is phlegmatic, sometimes surprises. Surprise. Excuse me?
It was his family.
He likes peace, and he likes everything in order, and he can be motivated to invest something for peace. He can fight for peace, and he fights for his family. Very good. And then this I don't mind mood, you know, when he could choose very nice place, and he could choose the mountain to live, he said, "You choose. You choose." Very generous, very undecisive, maybe passive. "I take what is the rest of the meal." So when you eat together with a phlegmatic, you know, it has some advantages. And his fearfulness always shows again. Then, you know, you may say Abraham was not so patient because he always comes to God and tells him, "Please give me a child. Please give me a child. You promised me a child. You promised me a child." But you have to consider. Yeah. But you have to consider. No, he asked 20 years ago. Not asking 20 years, even though he had the promise, he will get a child. Every year goes through, no child, no child. Getting older and older. And after 20 years, you can ask, okay? I think you can ask. I mean, this patience he shows there is unbeatable. Unbeatable. Then, something for couples here. As far as I can understand, Sarai, was a very strong woman. She must have been choleric. Very strong woman. And this is, for me, a very good example. And Sarai, for the Jews today, for the Jews, Sarai is very, very high
honored.
Every Friday, they sing songs about Sarai. Because this is their example. How Sarai, as a strong woman, honored her husband. Respected her husband. So the theory goes like this. Ladies, you honor your husband. You respect your husband like Sarah did. Sarah talked how to Abraham?
My Lord.
You do not have to do that, okay? But if you can feel it, if you have it inside, your future husband or present will appreciate it, and it will do him good because it's God's will. Abraham himself loved Sarai, although he gave her away somehow, or had to. I don't know how he could do that, but he loved her to the bitter end. I mean, I don't know how bitter, to the end. You know, he loved her. She got him a son. I mean, can you imagine Abraham? Can you imagine his wave, phlegmatic wave? There must have been something, you know, having. And in the movie it shows how Abraham worked with Isaac. He didn't have time for anybody else. It shows in the movie. He did. My son, I have a son, you know. He worked with it. He really wanted to educate Isaac as good as possible. Mm-hmm. He invested everything. Everything else was not important. Yeah. He was obedient. And he's very much known as the man with the highest quality of faith. How can we say that? How can we relate? What is it? What is faith? Trust.
Living by the word of God.
Living by the word of God.
Action.
Being emotional intelligent. Having the emotions under control. Can you imagine how he had emotions under control? Phlegmatics do. They can. They. Now, having emotions under control can mean you are faithful. You have a good faith. Because when you pray for something, you want whatever is important for you, and you pray. And you pray, and your feelings say, hey, what's wrong? Hey, he got you there already. You know, when I pray, he should. When you do that 20 years, you know, and you still keep it, and don't throw everything overboard. This is faith. So faith means praying for something and keep on doing it whatever it costs. Independent from emotions. This is the will. This is where I go. And when God says this is where I go, and when God says this is my will, then I know it's right. And I go. This is good theory, you know, good theory. But this is what God wants us. And he wants us to prepare in this area for the end time. And if we do not let us prepare, we might regret it. There's a saying, don't throw away your crisis. What does it say? Don't throw away
Don't waste problems.
Don't escape problems, because they might help you to strengthen your emotional intelligence, to, in other words, to strengthen your faith.
Grow
what? Okay, now the finish. Paul, the choleric. Where are the cholerics? Thank you. Listen, we need cholerics. Why? Good leaders. The other ones are good too. But they have certain talent that will help. Why do we need good leaders? To get there, you know? If we do not have good leaders, we will do this. More like this. But we need good leaders to go to get there. So cholerics are very, very good. And Paul is a special example here. He must have had ambitious parents. His parents showed him where to go. And his parents knew what was important. So they brought him to the best teachers, Gamaliel. Now the parents made sure Gamaliel, Paul had the best education. And they were proud of their son, because as soon as these sects came, he was fighting them. Good son. Good son. So he was thinking he did the right thing. So he was clear with his conscience. He was not knowing he was doing the wrong thing. Cholerics sometimes can do things not knowing they do the wrong things. They do it with conviction. They run towards the wall without knowing the wall will come. Now, by God's grace, he, God called him. And it fascinates me how God did it. He let him run into the wall. I mean, the light. Huh? And you know what he said? He respected Saul in that, saying, "You hurt me. Don't you want to go and work with me and for me?" I mean, he asks him very nicely in this very special moment. He asks him, and Saul had a good understanding. He wanted to do the best, and this is a very good strength. If cholerics want to do God's will, oh man, God loves it, and he wants to use them. And if they go the wrong direction, God will give them a stop. He will, because he wants the choleric to work in his work. He needs them, because that's, you know, we do not have much time. So we need people that make pressure, that make speed. We need cholerics to speed it up. But they have to go in the right direction. So God had to turn around Paul. Saul made him Paul. Oh. Okay. So Saul as well, he became a murderer, but he was a murderer for the good. So he didn't have a bad conscience, this fellow. Now, to change a choleric, it needs God. You cannot, I mean, to change the direction of a choleric needs grace. Now, just to understand, you get persecuted by a man, and now this man suddenly says, "I'm with you, I'm your friend." And you say, "Wait a minute. My mother died because of you. Leave me alone. My son died because of you. My father is in jail because of you. Leave me alone." And you may not say it as phlegmatic. You may say it a little louder. So you can imagine that Paul had problems to get integrated into the church. big problems. They threw him out several times. Jerusalem twice. Damascus twice. So Paul had really problems to be integrated. Barnabas helped him. Now, what did God do with Paul? He sent him where? Like Moses, he sent him to the desert, to the Arabian desert. For how long? How long the time?
3 years.
1 month?
3 years.
3 years. Hey, just imagine a choleric in the desert for 3 years. Now, make a picture. I don't know how he survived. I don't know. Now, he really had time. For 3 years in the desert for a choleric, this means time. This is like 40 years for a phlegmatic. Now, what happens in the desert? Again. Because you need the desert. Some of you need the desert. What happens in the desert? We, you know, you see Jesse's picture? Like this, you know, going in the wrong direction, then you need the desert to find the right direction, and then you learn to go in the right direction. This is the desert. Desert can mean you go to a mission school. It can mean I want to know what it is all about here. What is God's end time strategy? I want to be part of it. I do not want to miss the train. I need a change. This is going to the desert. Find out who am I? What is it? Who made me the way I am? What made me the way I am? Where do I want to go? How can I develop a vertical relationship? Serious one. I have some deficits. I have to work it out. Before I marry, I have to work it out. You're young. It's much harder for me. You have a good chance. To go the right way. But you need to go into the desert. You have to make a decision. And when you do that, Holy Ghost will bless you. As you can see with people who went to the mission school. My son's turned around. Jesse wanted to, you know, when he went to European Bible School first time, he took his stick with him. He was, you know, that's how he went to the airplane. And he even used the sticks when he was up there. But they got slower and slower. And then he had this experience. Suddenly, one time he called us. I don't know, might have been Skype or so. He said, Daddy, today I was working with tomatoes. Okay. And he said, I was talking to them. So he was he likes action, you know, but tomatoes. You know, And he had to do it day after day. Day after day. Huh?
Week after week.
Week after week, even. So he said, the tomatoes changed me. Yeah, he was in the desert. He was in the desert, you know, seeing and talking and thinking about God's nature laws, realizing what it is all about. What are we talking about here? And if you find out nature, the laws of God, you, as Joachim said this morning, Isaiah 58, you, as soon as you start doing this, you will heal. How? Slow or fast? Slow!
Quickly!
Quickly! It says, Isaiah 58:8, you will heal fast. Do we? Does anybody need some healing here? You want to do it slow, or you want to do it, right? Okay? You want to do it slow?
Fast.
If you want to do it fast, this is what you have to do. You have to be a medical missionary, and you will heal fast. This is what we see with our children. And you're young. The younger, the faster even. Yes. Then cholerics. Cholerics like evidence. They're influenced by evidence. Jesus is influenced by evidence. Jesus wants to influence us by evidence. God wants to show us that creation is a matter of evidence. God wants to tell you, use your brain, use your ratio, use the tools I gave you, use them. Make your brain dominant and your conscience dominant. Use these tools to read the Bible, to study me, and learn from it, and your will change, and your thoughts will change, and your feelings will change. This is his strategy. Biblical. Now, Elmai calls the three years of desert, calls it Paul in his university. Or I don't know exactly, but he calls the desert university. Now, Paul is in the university studying in the desert. After the 3 years, by the way, Paul went back to Jerusalem and tried it again, and he got the kick again. They could not handle him. And you know why? I would guess a choleric, when he comes with his straight and clear arguments, nothing like this, which a sanguine would do, very clear arguments, they couldn't handle him. Sometimes we can't handle it. Sometimes we are not humble enough. We do not want to change so fast. We cannot handle good arguments, and we throw them away, and they threw him away. And what did he do? Anybody knows? He went home. Home is Tarsus. So when he went to Tarsus, he couldn't be quiet, and of course he worked there a little, you know. He tried his first mission skills. 3 minutes. Mission skills. Maybe God wants you to work home first. Learn some things at home, and then God chose him. How? He sent Barnabas to him. Barnabas, his friend, had to get him. Saul, Paul, you have a job. You have, God gives you a job. And after that, the Ferrari was built. Then it happened. From that moment on, Paul went through his desert. He knew, and he gave God, or God took enough time to change him, and then everything went. And we wouldn't be there where we are now when Paul weren't there with his Ferrari. And he went from church. And as you heard, you know how he did it. Either you take the message or you do not. Throw me away. Okay, I go there. And I'm just surprised about his emotional intelligence. Cholerics sometimes have a problem with emotions, but they usually can control it. Their emotions are very fast coming out. Loud, you know, they do this. Not so much as the melancholy who collects, you know. When he finally turns it in, it is a little bit more. Okay, that's why people think he's a choleric, but he's not. A choleric is not so bad in that sense, but often, more often, it comes fast. They're transparent. They show you their feelings. Are you crazy? You know, they come out very fast, and they have to look. Okay, this is your opinion. You know, go back and let other ones have space as well. This is what the choleric has to do. Depends on the job, on the call you have. Okay. And then you understand Paul after going through this education system, God's education system, you think, wow, Paul, how can you say this? Where did you get this from? He would say, from the desert, from the university. I learned it. I started a relationship with the real Christ. I have a relationship, and he gives me information. I can talk to him and I hear his voice. You know, this is where what deserts are for, what studies are for. Okay, at the end, a little dessert. Let's suppose to think, imagine we are in Sabbath school. Sabbath morning. Huh? Now who? We have four temperaments, okay? A round of four. Now, who of them will teach the lesson? The cleric. Yes. He likes to do that. Who else likes to do that? The sanguine. The melancholy sometimes as well. The phlegmatic you have to convince. Okay? Okay, so the choleric comes out, maybe deductive. Here he is deductive. Usually it's better to start a lesson inductive, but not deductive. That's another topic. Now he starts deductive and says, God is love. God is love. Okay? Any problems? Who has a problem here? Guess which temperament will now have a problem first? It's a good idea. He thinks, but he doesn't mention it. Who mentioned it first? Who mentioned it? The sanguine. So the sanguine comes out and says, but he's also just. Is he right?
Yeah.
But he cannot leave the choleric with his, you know. I'm here too, he's saying. I'm here too, hey, man. They said. And I wanted to teach, actually. No? So, hey. Next Sabbath, you watch it, okay? You watch it. Now you have some knowledge to enjoy it. You can enjoy it. I enjoy Sabbath schools. This is really, really funny. Now, he thinks, oh, him again. Because he knows the sanguine, you know? Him again. Now he sees, oh, there's another one. I mean, there's a competition. A competition over there. And competition makes cholerics strong. Because they like competition. You know, they do that. Now, the phlegmatic, he realizes. Now, this is, we have it now. There's something going on now. Should be exciting. C is missing. I didn't show her yet. Now he feels it, the phlegmatic, you know, because he knows all about peace. Then the melancholy says, "No, there's something I have to think about." Now what is it? You know, what is it? And he starts thinking, you know. The sanguine realizes, did I do something wrong? Because he feels the atmosphere. He has his antennas and feels, what is it? And he says, should I have kept, you know, they know after a while. They sometimes are too fast. Did I say something wrong? And then he might think about it, maybe, and say, No. God is also just. Why? So justice is important, he says. You know? I mean, he underlines. I'm not wrong. I'm right. Yes. The choleric cannot say anything against it, so. Yes. God is also just. Yes. Now the phlegmatic. I wonder what comes next now. And then he gives a part, he tries to bring them together, connect. I like just people. Ist das richtig? We can say that, okay? He thinks, choleric thinks, hey, now I do not want to talk about justice now. It goes very fast, the whole thing, okay? I do not want to talk about justice now. I have to give directions now. But first, the melancholy has found, and his conclusion is, Love, justice and love belong together. So he found it. Eureka. Huh? I says, Eureka. Eureka. So he brings something. Maybe he's not even able to say it. You know, if he has enough time, he can bring it. And the phlegmatic likes this thought immediately because it keeps peace. You know? Yes, you're okay, and you're okay, let's have peace. So he says, right, they belong together. In the meantime, the cleric gets impatient, and he wants to continue. My time is running out here. So, this is where he wants to go. Okay, this is just a little dessert from how you can apply the sanguine types. This is the sanguine kind of applying, enjoying, have a school. Learn. If you think you learned something, then you have to keep it. Okay? Prove everything and keep. If we do not keep, we lose it. We heard some information. If you don't keep it, work with it, you will lose it again. Okay? So if you think this was something important, keep it.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.